Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. This message is part of a series called Genuine. I'm a frugal person, and sometimes I buy cheaper imitation knockoff items rather than the real thing just to save money. And in the world of jeans or watches, that can be a really wise move. But when it comes to faith, only the real deal works. What the world desperately needs are genuine Christians who are living an authentic faith. Only a real faith can present the real Jesus. And in the end, only a genuine faith will fill our deepest desires. Genuine faith propels us to experience adventure and vitality of all that it means to follow Jesus. In this series, we're going to look at the letter called 2 Corinthians. And our purpose is to rediscover and live out authentic Christianity. Hey, everyone. We've been doing a study out of 2 Corinthians. And we interrupted that last week, an incredible opportunity to just challenge our church to be all in. And almost 1,000 of us made the commitment to be all in. Isn't that great? 1,000 of us. All in following Jesus, giving our complete selves and full surrender to follow him to the best of our ability, to truly allow God to work in our lives and to make a difference. If you missed last week, I want to encourage you to go online on our front page. You can watch the message. And if you're ready to make the commitment, you can sign the card, the commitment card to be all in online. If you don't have a computer, we've got DVD and the cards for you to do. But I want you to be all in. Now, one of the four specific commitments that we made, if we're going to be all in, was to become more and more like Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll bet you're like me. When I look at that commitment and I take that serious, I go, man, I have so far to go to become like Jesus, right? Are we all there? Of course we are. None of us are content that we truly are living the life that Jesus wants, that we're truly like him in all the ways that we want to be. And we all know that we need to experience more change and more transformation. Now, where we left off before last week in 2 Corinthians was in chapter 3, verse 5. And in chapter 3, verse 5, there's an incredible statement there. Our competency, our spiritual competency, comes not from ourselves, but from God, right? Remember that? We are spiritually able, we're spiritually competent because of God. Now, that principle flows into what we're looking at right now, because the same is true about our transformation. We will not be able to change ourselves based on our own ability and power. We are not capable, we're not competent to do that. We are totally and completely dependent on the Lord for that very thing as well. If we're not competent to fix ourselves, to transform ourselves, and we admit that, and when we realize that our whole faith is about the fact that we can't bring about our own transformation, we actually celebrate that in our faith. That's what makes Christianity unique. There is no other faith or religious experience like this, because we say up front, we can't do it. I've studied in depth all the other major religions, and every one of them eventually comes back to this. You have to do enough things. You got to follow the religious rules and laws. You've got to engage in the religious practices. And really what it's all about is you're bringing about your own change. But we know that won't really work. That won't sustain us to truly become like Jesus. The only way we're going to become like Jesus is if Jesus changes us. It's not going to come from us. We are not going to manufacture that. We're not going to make this happen. Now, we're in this series, we've called it Genuine. What we're looking at through this whole series is, what does it mean to be the genuine article, the real deal? How do we really live out our faith in a real way? And if we're being transformed to be like Jesus, you can't fake that. That's the real deal. People will see that. People will understand that. But what we're going to see in the passage we're going to look at today is this. that transformation only comes through God. Now, what the Apostle Paul is going to show us, and I teach this over, I'll teach this till I breathe my last breath. There's two basic approaches to being the person that we want to be, that God wants us to be. One is the religious approach, what we do. The other is release. It's religion or it's release. And in release, we say, God, I'm allowing you to do the work that only you can do. Now, look at how Paul unpacks this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to pick up where we left off the last time. We're going to pick up in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Notice how Paul lays this out. Remember verse 5. Our competence comes from God, not ourselves. Now he says, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul starts out by talking about a new covenant. Now, this whole idea of covenant is a pretty profound thing, and I won't go into infinite detail talking about what covenant means, because I did a message about a month ago in the mega themes of the Bible where we talked about covenant. But here's what covenant is, any covenant, new or old. A covenant is a formalized, committed relationship between us and God. If we're in a covenant, we have made an absolute clear commitment to that relationship. Now, Paul mentions the new covenant, but that infers the old covenant. And that's what he's actually dealing with here. He's actually going back to the old covenant. And how he describes it here is this old relationship, at least the basis of that relationship with God, was the letter. Now, when Paul uses the word letter, think of this. Have you ever heard this phrase? The letter of the law. See, what Paul's talking about is the old covenant, which we find in the Old Testament, where we were made right with God by following the rules and engaging in the religious practices. And what Paul says here is that letter, the letter of the law, which by the way, the reason we use that phrase letter of the law is because if we're going to live by the law, we have to obey the whole law. And where does that leave us, folks? Has anybody ever kept the law perfectly? Have we done all the things the right way in the right time and we kept it all? No. Now, the letter of the law, the basis of the old covenant, of the Old Testament, was good. Everything that God said was good. But we can't keep it. We can't do it. And we keep trying harder and harder. And the reason why God gave the old covenant, the reason why God gave the letter, was to show us that we can't do it. We can't manufacture it ourselves. We can't become like Jesus by following all the rules and regulations and doing all the right things. We need something more. That more is the Holy Spirit. And notice how Paul said that incredible. He says, not the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills. The letter just sucks the spiritual life out of us. We get so frustrated we can't get there. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's where he draws us to, is to the transforming power of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God working in us that transforms us and continually does that and does this incredible work inside of us. Now, notice how then, what I want to do is I want to skip down a few verses. If you want to on your own, read verses 7 through 15. Paul just unpacks more the difference between this old covenant where we try to get right with God by following the rules and this new covenant where we allow God to work in our lives. And so you can read that summary. Now go to verse 16. We're going to look at 16 through 18. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Wow. What we have for here is Paul lays out for us an invitation, a promise, and a goal. Take a look at this. The invitation. What's the invitation? He starts out in verse 16. Turn to the Lord. See, that's the source of transformation. When we turn to the one who truly can transform us, when we turn to the Lord. What's the promise? It's the Spirit who will transform us with a continual process, ever increasing, so that actually others can see the glory of the Lord in us. They're not seeing our glory. They're seeing the very nature of Jesus in us as the Spirit transforms us. And the goal is to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That others would truly see in us who Jesus is. Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul is writing this. It's easy just to, at this moment, just to get focused on what he says. But remember the one who's writing this. This is one who experienced incredible transformation. The Apostle Paul, and I'm going to use, I've thought carefully about this phrase, and I think this is absolutely accurate. The Apostle Paul was a religious terrorist. Think about that. He was a zealot. He was in the worst way a fanatic. He was ruthless in defending the faith that he believed, his religious roots, the Jewish faith. He was going to do anything he could to defend that from any threat that he perceived. And the threat that he perceived of the Jewish faith in his time was the church. It was this new beginning of a group of people who were following Jesus sincerely and faithfully. And his whole passion and focus was to eliminate the church. He would harass the church. He would arrest believers. He would kill Christians. In fact, not only was that his work, it became his identity. This man was filled with anger and brutality as he went from village to village, town to town, chasing down followers of Jesus. Until one day he met Jesus face to face. And when he did, everything transformed. Everything changed. In a dramatic, powerful, immediate way. And he went from the one who was persecuting to the one who was being persecuted. He went from the one who was living out this anger and hate to one who was promoting and spreading hope and a genuine love. An incredible transformation that occurred. The same Spirit that transformed the Apostle Paul is available to you and I. The same Spirit will transform our character. That same Spirit will transform the direction of our life. No longer doing what we think is important or what we think is valuable, but actually God will direct us and refocus on things that will make an eternal difference. It is the Spirit of God that will transform every aspect of our life in a profound way. Not only the Apostle Paul. He does that with all of us if we're open and we're willing. I want you to meet a young man. Brandon, come on up here. Brandon Osmer, I've known for a number of years. And Brandon made a decision to come back to Pantano about 14 months ago. Some things had gone on. Now, this is a young guy. So when you hear all these things that he's been involved in, you go, man, you started young. And he did. 23 years old, right?
Yep.
Brandon came back about 14 months ago and talked to us a little bit about some of the things that had happened before that time.
Well, back in 07, I was involved with a fairly big, it was a pretty big company, and I was involved in a money scheme. Got caught up in that and was fired and arrested for embezzlement. After that, in that same year, I had to have emergency surgery a month later. After that, got another job, got laid off of that job. And then after that, I thought, I'm going to apply at different places. I applied with the Tucson Police Department, and everything was going good. I passed everything I needed to pass. I got a call on a Friday night, and they said, Brandon, you passed everything. We want to accept you to the police academy. So I'm like, all right, everything's looking up. This is awesome. That was on a Friday night. That Saturday night, went out and got a DUI, and that immediately nixed me from that department for 3 years. So that was a very, very tough time to explain to family, friends, and even to myself. So that was that all happened within maybe 2 years of each other, and I just very, very tough time.
Great job, man. You just did it one after another. Just
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
That's how I do it.
So, I guess the good news is maybe you got that all over.
Yes, it's all done and over with. Thank God. Thank God. For the time. Thank you. Thank you.
So, yeah, you finally realized that God was speaking to you through disaster after disaster, and you decided to come back. To Pantano. You came to Elements, our Sunday night service here at the East Tucson campus. What was it like coming back to church, coming back to the Elements service after all of that stuff had transpired?
It was a very, very hard decision for me to make. I'd been in and out of the church for maybe 5-6 years, and to come back was very, very hard because I felt like there was this black cloud over my head. I felt like I was the worst person in the world, and that when I walked into Elements with all these other college kids, that I was the worst person in there, that nobody else had experienced what I had experienced, and that these were the perfect Christian kids. And it was very, very hard, but I was driving to work one Sunday morning, and I promised myself, I said, Brandon, go to Elements, and I did, and that was 14 months ago, and I've only missed one service since.
Not bad. Cool. That's great. I will tell you, when Brandon came the first few weeks, and I'm not proud of this, but I thought, nah, he's not going to last.
But he loves me now.
I do.
That's what matters.
And yet, I watched this guy not just keep coming. It's one thing just to keep coming to church. That's not a hard thing to do. But I watched his heart. Share with us some of the things that you're not the same person you were 14 months ago. Talk about some of the things that have been transformed, that have changed in your life. And if you don't mention some, I'll remind you of a few.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Glenn. It's very sweet of you. I was very cocky. I was very arrogant. I was a lot more selfish, looking out for myself, looking out for what I wanted to do, and not really focused on expanding God's kingdom. Main thing God has worked on, really, just like Glenn said, is my heart. My heart has been transformed inside and out, flipped upside down and around. And I would not have had it any other way, because everything that had happened, I have an amazing support system at home with my mother and father and my younger brother, but I was always feeling like I needed something more, and that was that night that I came back. And ever since then, God has been just really, really working in my heart. You know, just the way I approach situations and the way I react to things, and my drive for a daily basis is completely different than 14 months ago.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I've had the joy of seeing it. And, you know, at first I thought Brandon came back to get something. And he did, but what he got wasn't maybe what I thought he thought he was going to get. But he got the Spirit of God, who is transforming his life. And God is still in the business of transforming lives. Brandon's going to be here after our services if you want to talk with him. Thanks, man. I love you.
Thanks, man.
Brandon, the Apostle Paul, and many of us have experienced true, real transformation of our soul. The Spirit changes our focus. It changes our direction. The Spirit changes what we value. No longer our values, the world's values, but we begin to adopt the very values of Jesus. He changes our heart, our character. God's Spirit, God Himself in His Holy Spirit, does this amazing twisting of who we are, what we thought we was right, where we wanted to go, how we, who we wanted to be. He twists and changes all of that and molds us and shapes us to become more and more like Jesus. Now, I want to ask us a pretty simple question. We get that. I think most of us probably believe that. So here's the question. Am I more like Jesus today than I was yesterday? Now, I want to pause here because when I prepare these messages, I'm always asking myself these same questions. And I thought about that. Today, am I more like Jesus than I was yesterday? Am I more like Jesus this month than I was last month? Am I more like Jesus this year than I was last year? Is transformation really occurring in my life? And I want you to sit with that for a second. Is that happening? Are others seeing more and more of Jesus in your life where it's obvious? Is it happening? If it's not, then we have to ask another question. What's hindering that process? What's hindering the Spirit's transforming work in our life? What's squelching the transforming power of the Spirit? Sometimes it's big things. Yeah, sex that's not according to God's ways. Inappropriate sex is one of those biggies that can just squelch the work of the Spirit in our life. Or addiction to drug or alcohol. Or an overwhelming sense of materialism where it's just out of control. We want to buy and we want to have. Those are the biggies and those are obvious. They will quench the work of the Spirit. Some of you go, well, I'm not involved in those things. But you could identify some other things that hinder the work of the Spirit. Maybe they're smaller. Maybe they're not as obvious. But every kind of sin, big or small, comes from the same place. It comes from the place of self-centeredness. And so just a spirit of discontent can just squelch the work of the Spirit in our life, and it comes from that place of self-centeredness or a critical spirit or a judgmental spirit or that sense in which I want to be noticed and I want to be liked and I'll do whatever it takes to be noticed and liked. And we can go on and on and on. It doesn't matter what worry, fear, all of those things. They come out of a place where we're focused on ourselves and it shuts down the work of the Spirit in our life. Question is, what is hindering the work of the Spirit to transform you to become more and more like Jesus? What's keeping you from tapping into this incredible power of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, that can change who we are, change the direction of our life? It's a critical question that we not only have to ask, but we have to answer. I don't know if you noticed, but when you read what Paul said, is he said that when we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. The veil is removed. See, when we turn to the Lord, when we truly do that, then whatever is there that's blocking, that's what a veil does. A veil covers, it blocks. Whatever is blocking the ability of God to work in our life, to produce the very nature of Jesus in our life, can be removed. It's not going to happen through religious behavior. It's not going to happen through working harder. It's not going to happen by, I'm going to be a good person. It's going to happen as we turn to the Lord. And I think that's really the crux of this whole passage in Paul's teaching. Turn to the Lord. He is the source of all transformation and change. It's not going to come from anywhere else. And so as we're talking about this, what we're really talking about is we're talking about surrender. We're talking about release. Releasing our desire to be and create the person we want to be. Letting go of all of that and coming to the place where we say, God, I need you to change the things in me that I cannot change myself. There's a theologian. You know, theologians are kind of weird dudes. And this guy is a preeminent theologian. His name is Karl Barth. German theologian, has had huge influence on Christianity for the last 100 years. But I want you to hear an amazing thing that a brainy theologian said. When we're at our wits' end for an answer, I want to pause there. I think all of us experience that when it comes to being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, because we want to become more and more like Jesus, but we just get to the place where we can't make it happen. When we are at the wits' end for an answer, then the Holy Spirit can give us an answer. But how can he give us an answer when we are still well supplied with all sorts of answers of our own? I think he nails it. I think he gets right to the point. We don't have the power of the Holy Spirit transforming our life because we don't think we really need and want the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. We'll figure it out. Thank you, Lord. We'll work harder, okay, Lord? I'll do it my way. But I think Karl Barth says it so well. After we keep trying and trying to manage our life and trying to become better Christians and trying to be more like Jesus, and we realize it's not really happening, that's when we stop and surrender and turn to the Lord and say, God, do your best work in me now. I can't do it anymore. I can't manufacture it. It's not going to happen. And so that's why I think the most critical part of what Paul taught in verse 16 is that when we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And we understand the source of transformation, and God actually begins to transform us. But why is it we have trouble allowing God to do that? Why is it we're not recognizing the Spirit's work in our life more often? And I want to suggest something very simple. The greatest temptations of the evil one are not the complex ones. They're actually quite simple. We are so distracted. There is so much noise in our life. There's so many things going on around us. There's so many things happening that we miss the ways in which God wants to work in our lives. Paul's instruction, Paul's command, turn to the Lord. So the question we have to ask is, how do we do that? How do we consistently turn to the Lord so that we're hearing him? You know, in Christianity, we talk about having quiet times. And quiet times are good, but I want to suggest that it needs to be more than a quiet time. I want to suggest that we need spirit time. What if we just took time, at least one time every day, and we said, God, I'm listening. Speak to me. Change me. Use me. Something as powerful and simple as that moment where we say, Spirit, speak to me. Change me. Use me. Move me in whatever way you want to move me. And that really brings us to the bottom line. You know I like bottom lines. The bottom line is surrender. That's what it means to turn to the Lord. To surrender. To say, I give up. I can't do it. I don't have the ability. But I'm inviting you to take control and charge of my heart, my life, my mind, my body, everything. Change me and use me however you want. Okay, now, so I'm preparing this message and I'm asking all this to myself, and I end my message with, okay, I need something more practical. Some of you are going, come on, give me something more practical. Well, here it is. You're not going to experience transformation by reading the right books, watching the right videos, listening to the right podcast, engaging in the right activities, joining the right group, and taking the right classes. Now, if you just heard me carefully, what I just described is our brand new compass. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully. I want every one of us to take the compass. The compass is a tool that will show us the books, the videos, the podcasts, the activities, the groups, the classes that will help us grow. But here's the point. A book will not transform you. Right? A video will not transform you. A spiritual practice, as good as it is, will not transform you. But if you take the compass, beginning by saying, God, Spirit, speak to me now. Work through this tool. And as you take it, you continue to pray, God, use this to bring about change in me. And then as you make a decision about the kinds of books or activities or groups or classes that you want to take, you're asking God's Spirit, use this thing to change me. And that's how God's Spirit works. We open ourselves, we surrender, we say, I don't really want to read that book because I know it's going to bring conviction. Then read it. And all the while you're saying, God, do your best work in me. Challenge me, change me, move me, change my values, change my belief systems, change my relationships, whatever it takes as I'm engaging in this thing so that I can truly become more and more like Jesus. The tool will not change you, but the tool in partnership with the work of the Spirit in our souls is what brings about transformation. And that's the place we want to be. We want to partner with the Holy Spirit, engaging in whatever will be helpful to allow Him to change our lives. We come to our time of communion. This is one of those Spirit times. This is a time when we simply talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want changed in me? Maybe you already know it. Maybe it's not even asking, Lord. Maybe it's confessing. Jesus, I need this to be changed and transformed. And I can't think of a better time than communion. With sincerity to confess or to ask. Confess what needs to be transformed. Ask for God's transforming power in our lives. If you're visiting with us, we do communion this way. The communion service will pass the tray, take the cup and the bread, and pass it to the next person. And as you hold the cup and the bread, which are symbols of the love and the sacrifice of Jesus, His surrender of His own life that we might have life, we choose surrender. Turn to the Lord. After that, we're going to take our offering. And I want you to think about this with offering. What about money needs to be transformed in our lives? Do we worry about it too much? Are we still clinging to it as if it's ours? When in fact, if He's the Lord of our life, it belongs to Him. One of the most troubling, challenging areas that oftentimes needs transformed in our life is how we look at money. Do we see our money as God's money? And are we willing to give it with joy and generosity? Let's pray. Father God, transform us. God, help us to remove whatever gets in the way of that transforming work of your Spirit. If there's sin in our life, if there's habits that need to be changed and moved, God, help us to do that so that we can experience the power of your transforming spirit. God, change us day by day, moment by moment, to be more like Jesus. And God, may others see and experience Jesus in us. Amen.